With the United States under fire for hoarding almost all of the world's supply of remdesivir, the only drug licensed so far to treat COVID-19, the World Health Organization's plan to purchase and share 2 billion doses of coronavirus vaccine has come into sharp focus. When they become available, the aim is to distribute vaccines to high-risk populations, including countries with fragile health systems like the Pacific Islands. The strategy has the backing of the Deputy Director of the Burnet Medical Research Institute in Australia, who says the absence of the COVID-19 in parts of the Pacific is now largely down to luck. And the Associate Professor David Anderson is warning island nations which are free of the virus for now must not presume that will always be the case, because the COVID-19 threat may be with us for the next 10 years. Richard Ewart reports.
The scramble to find a vaccine for COVID-19 and drugs to treat those worst affected by infection is intense. Right now, there are 16 vaccines in clinical trials and at least another 125 in earlier stages of development. When any of those vaccines become available, the WHO wants to ensure all countries have access to them. And so it's joined forces with the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations and Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, to devise an $18.1 billion US dollar plan to buy and share 9 of the candidate vaccines. As no one knows which vaccines will be successful, purchasing shares in a pool to be known as the COVAX facility will broaden a country's chances of having access to those that do work. It's a strategy that has the support of Associate Professor David Anderson, the Burnet Institute's Deputy Director.
Otherwise, we will end up with a handful of countries who have first rights to the vaccines that prove to be effective, and everyone else scrabbles for the leftovers. And that is not going to be effective for a global pandemic, because if countries want to reopen their borders, get their societies back to normal, we need to control this worldwide, not just on a country-by-country basis.
But for the WHO's plan to work, it will require commitments from high and upper middle-income countries to purchase up to 950 million doses of vaccine. And so Washington's go-it-alone approach on remdesivir has caused outrage in the medical community, with Martin Landry, Professor of Medicine and Epidemiology at the University of Oxford, among those leading the criticism.
COVID is a global problem with millions of patients affected worldwide. Those patients need access to proven treatments. For one country to dominate the access to a single treatment is beyond unfortunate.
The US might end up with rights to a vaccine that would better suit the developing world because it's more stable for shipping to remote areas, for example. Someone else might develop a vaccine that's particularly good for elderly populations, and high-income countries have a higher proportion of elderly people than low- and middle-income countries. So we will get much better return from the vaccines that we might end up with if we have the ability to share them equitably around the world and most effectively around the world.
With small economies and basic health systems, Dr. Anderson says Pacific Island countries will rely on international support to get access to vaccines, and then need to encourage a potentially reluctant population to get immunised.
We can't underestimate the amount of effort that is going to be required to work out how best to deliver these vaccines to the vulnerable populations in many of the countries of the world, because we haven't done this before. We haven't tried to deliver a vaccine to healthcare workers and at-risk populations in these countries at any great scale. Flu vaccine is not widely used in many of the countries that will need the COVID-19 vaccine. So we're going to have to work out how to deliver it to those countries, as well as actually having the vaccine doses available.
While many of the island nations are COVID-19 free so far, Dr. Anderson says we only need to look at recent history to recognise how quickly that situation can change.
The example of measles in Samoa last year shows that it's good luck that they have not had introductions of COVID-19. And if they don't have ongoing transmission, they would be slightly lower priority. But it will get there eventually. And as the spread of measles in Samoa, when their vaccine coverage had dropped, showed dramatically, there is no reason that a respiratory infection won't take hold in those communities. There's nothing special about the Pacific Islands that will stop that happening once it's introduced.
And the World Health Organization's regional director for the Western Pacific, Dr. Takeshi Kasai, is acutely aware that the islands are still at high risk.
Most Pacific islands have yet to report a single case, but there is really no room for complacency. there is still plenty of space for the virus to spread in this region, in this interconnected world. As long as the virus is circulating somewhere, no country is safe. We must continue responding to the current situations and preparing every corner of every country for the possibility of large-scale community transmission.
The fear is, in a country like Papua New Guinea, for example, that the small number of COVID-19 cases confirmed so far may actually be shielding a bigger reality. And Associate Professor Anderson and his team at Burnet are working on broader solutions.
My lab is leading in developing improved diagnostic tests that would be suitable for a low prevalence and resource-poor setting like Papua New Guinea, so that we can detect any new infections. But the other, perhaps even more critical aspect of the work that we're doing is surveillance, particularly on the border with Papua province. That's where the virus is likely to enter, looking at all causes of respiratory diseases and fevers more generally. That surveillance is going to be increasingly important.
At the WHO, Dr. Kasai says the pandemic has reached a critical point and Pacific Island nations need to be extra vigilant.
We are now at the decisive moment and we must keep preparing for further surges of the virus, so that together we make our way to a better future.
Exactly what that better future may look like is a matter for debate. But at the Burnet Institute, David Anderson says COVID-19 will have to be factored into every Pacific Island country's health plans for a long time to come.
I don't see an end to it, even with a vaccine, for at least 10 years. We should remember that our most recent pandemic that has been really deadly was HIV. And we don't have a vaccine. And while it's largely under control in many parts of the world, it is only because of continued efforts that we are making progress there. And I think that COVID-19 will be the same. If we have good vaccines, good diagnostics, hopefully some better antivirals for people who do end up getting severe illness, we'll be able to cope with COVID-19, and the new normal won't be that different to our old normal. But I don't think we'll return to a time when we can just forget about COVID-19.
That's Associate Professor David Anderson, Deputy Director of the Burnet Medical Institute in Melbourne, and a reporter there was Richard Hewitt.